Okay, I want to share this scripture. I began with this scripture last week regarding how valuable the scriptures are in bringing about this change that we desire as God continues to do that work of completion in us. The scriptures are so vital for that change to come about. And 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says this: all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Any of you have anything wrong in your life? Okay. So the scriptures are there to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Okay, so we know that the scripture is involved in equipping us. If we are to be complete, we need to have the equipment, right, to be complete. And so the word of God is part of that which will equip us for the work that God has for us to do. By way of introduction, I want to give you the truth regarding trouble. I've entitled this message today, Trouble. And I hope that doesn't discourage you as we progress through this. But the reality is there is trouble. And Jesus said we would have that. In John 16:33, he says, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows. Or the New International Version, NIV, says trouble. Here on earth you will have trouble. But take heart. Or New American Standard says, take courage. King James Version says, be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. Okay, so it's the bad news and the good news. Bad news is you're going to have trouble, but Jesus says, even in that trouble, you can be cheerful. You can be cheerful about it because, number one thing, he's overcome. Okay, so that gives us encouragement that we can overcome as well. But the reality is that the truth of trouble is that we're going to have it. Okay, so because we're going to have it, let's learn how to deal with it. So first point on this outline is trouble's good. Now, the one thing about the English language, you can't always tell what the author means just by the way it's written. Now, does that mean when trouble, apostrophe S, trouble's good, does that mean that there is a possessive part of trouble and part of what it possesses is good? Okay, so trouble's good. Or is this a contraction in which it is trouble is good? Which is it? Can you tell? Only if you know the author. The author says it's both. There is a part of trouble that is good. Trouble is good and trouble has good. Trouble possesses good, so trouble's good is what I'm talking about in the message today. Got it? You know, I like the word it's. It's, you know if it's possessive or if it's a contraction, don't you? Because when it's possessive, you don't use the apostrophe. Another rule breaker. If you ever taught your kids to read, you found out all these rule breakers. It's like, how can anyone read English? How do you know if the author means you're going to read this or I read that? You don't know until you finish the end of the sentence. It's like, that's weird, isn't it? Anyway. Okay, so turn with me to James chapter 1, and we're going to see the good of trouble. You know, by the time today's message is done, and you know, I don't mean to be, I don't know if the right, if this is the right word or not, sadistic in this message, but you know, I expect by the time we're done with the message today, you're going to be one of those people that goes, you know, like, yeah, come on, trouble. Come on. Confident? Yeah, that's, you know. But see, people who like problems, you know, sometimes you think of that, they're just a little weird, aren't they? You know, people who, it's like, are you self-abusive or what's the deal? You know, there's something wrong with you if you like trouble. But there is a good part of that, and Ursula already shared it this morning. It's like we gotta be in the steam in order for us to experience the fullness and be completed, to get done, you know, to get the rice done. It's got to sit in the steam. Okay, so James chapter 1, 2 through 4. Dear brothers and sisters, When troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Okay, so let's see the good of trouble here. First of all, you know, notice that it says when trouble comes. It doesn't say if trouble comes or by chance trouble may come. It says when trouble comes. Okay, so when trouble comes, look at it as an opportunity, not even for just joy, but an opportunity for great joy. The Lord has been speaking by the Spirit to us as a congregation regarding opportunities. And part of the word that he has spoken to us is about perceiving opportunities. Now, oftentimes people do not perceive trouble as an opportunity for great joy. No, it's an opportunity for grumbling. It's an opportunity to get upset and disturbed and let everyone else know how much I am. But this is talking about trouble as an opportunity for great joy. And another good of trouble is that faith is tested and that endurance grows. And the result of that then is that we become complete and needing nothing. And remember, the title of this series is God's Completion Project. And so, you know, how can we talk about being complete if there's a part of our completing that happens with trouble? If we just want to leave trouble out of the equation here, how can we be complete? And that's why I need to share this message with you. Okay, so first of all, the first part of that good of trouble is, again, is the opportunity for great joy. And I'm going to share a couple of verses here that I've already got printed out for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10 says, "That's why I take pleasure in my weakness." Now, again, to get the context of what the scripture is talking about, this is talking about when Paul said, you know, there was given to me a spirit of affliction, a messenger from Satan. He said that was so that I would not get proud because I was a man that had received great revelations, but there was given me this a spirit of affliction. And he said, I asked the Lord three times that it be removed. And each time the Lord's response was, "My grace is sufficient for you." Now, oftentimes people say that's no. I don't know how you say, how you can confuse grace is sufficient with no. But so many people say, you know, when Paul prayed three times, God didn't take it away. God didn't answer his prayer. God's answer was no. God's answer was, "My grace is sufficient for you, Paul." Okay, so learn to live in my grace. There was a process that was happening here. But he said, as a result of that, he says, "I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, the hardships, the persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I'm weak, then I am strong." You know, here's another clue while we're on this subject of Paul's thorn in the flesh. Is what I was talking about, that messenger from Satan. So many people want to make that a physical affliction that Paul was dealing with. But he, in the context of the scriptures, this is what he was dealing with. He was dealing with insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that he suffered for Christ. That was the thorn of the flesh that he was dealing with. Okay, and he says, you know, I'm okay with it. He says, because there is a weakness in me that doesn't like those things. I want to resist that kind of stuff. But the total outcome of that is that when I am weak, experience the weakness in these things, he says, Christ is strong in me. Then I'm strong. I am strong with the strength that Christ gives me, which is the next verse, Philippians 4, verse 13, a very familiar verse. It says, "For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." Again, to put that verse in its context, the verses before that, he's saying, I've learned how to get along with a lot, and I've learned how to get along with nothing. He says, I've learned that in every circumstance to be content. I've learned that I do not have to be dependent upon the circumstances for me to live out my life and to be content in it. In fact, he says, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. So one of the things that we are going to experience in our trouble is an opportunity for the Lord to be strong on the inside of us. See, troubles often just reveal our own weakness, things we have difficulty dealing with. But this is the opportunity for us to be completed and the opportunity for us to experience joy as we recognize the Lord's work in us and the Lord's strength in us. Okay, so are you getting a little closer to saying, hey, come on, bring it on. Bring it on, I'll take it. Okay, another good of trouble is faith is tested. It's what was said in James chapter 1. And some scriptures along that line. First of all, 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7 says, so be truly glad, there is wonderful joy ahead. Now this could have fit up under the last outline point that I had about opportunity for joy. Here he says, there's wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials. Everyone say many. A little bit of a clue there, folks, that life does not necessarily come out easy. It says many. Even though you have to endure many trials for a little while, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Okay, so again, just take note of the wonderful joy ahead, enduring and many trials. And know this, that our faith is tested like gold is purified. And I'm sure you've heard the illustration that when a goldsmith or a silversmith is refining that fine metal, they put the heat to it, the dross comes to the top, they skim the dross off, and when the gold or the silver is purified, the goldsmith or silversmith is able to look in the pot of molten metal and see his own reflection. And see, that's what God's doing with us. Part of our being complete is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. God is looking into our lives, and what he wants to see back is himself. He wants to see his own reflection in our life. So there's purifying that happens. And a part of that purifying process is the testing of our faith to prove our faith to be genuine. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I'll have you look this verse up. I'm not going to completely let you off the hook today for looking up scriptures. I'm going to make you work some for it. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Besides, I don't want you to go, you know, the pastor always puts the verses up. I don't have to bring my Bible to church. That's a mistake if you're saying that. It's always good to bring your Bible to church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 8. Finally, when we could stand it no longer, we decided to stay alone in Athens, and we sent Timothy to visit you. He is our brother and God's co-worker in proclaiming the good news of Christ. We sent him to strengthen you, to encourage you in your faith, and to keep you from being shaken by the troubles you are going through. But you know that we are destined for such troubles. Even while we were with you, we warned you that troubles would soon come. And they did, as you well know. That is why, when I could bear it no longer, I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was still strong. I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you and that our work had been useless. But now Timothy has just returned, bringing us good news about your faith and love. He reports that you always remember our visit with joy and that you want to see us as much as we want to see you. So we have been greatly encouraged in the midst of our troubles and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, because you have remained strong in your faith. It gives us new life to know that you are standing firm in the Lord. So, first of all, did you notice in there it says that we are destined for troubles? Good news, everybody! We are destined for troubles. We are destined for troubles. Now, I know that some have taught that if you have enough faith, you will not have trouble. That is error. That is false. That is not in line with the Word of God. We are destined for troubles. But he speaks in here about to keep from being shaken. There is a testing of your faith when you are experiencing trouble. But but we need to keep from being shaken. He commended them for remaining strong in their faith. You remained strong in your faith. And he says you stood firm. You were standing firm in the Lord. So here we can get a clue as to our appropriate response to trouble already by some of these things that are being expressed here in these scriptures. I'll talk later about our response to trouble, but in going through these verses that reveals the reality that we're destined for trouble, it's already giving indicators as to an appropriate response to it. Okay, in James, one of the goods of trouble is that endurance grows. I looked up the word endurance for some definition, and it says it's the ability or strength to continue or last, especially despite fatigue or stress or other adverse conditions. Another word for it is stamina. I was breaking that down a little bit, and I wanted to look at the word adverse. It talks about adverse conditions. From that word adverse, we get adversarial, we get adversity, or even the word adversary. And we will realize that a significant amount of our troubles comes from, number one, the adversary. The scripture speaks of the devil as being our adversary. Okay, so sometimes our troubles are from our adversary. But you know, God is in the redemption business. The scripture says that all things work, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Even when something is not good in your life, in other words, the adversary is throwing up adversity, adversarial circumstances in your life, coming from the adversary. What God will do, if you will allow him to work through you to work these things together for good, he'll redeem those adversarial circumstances and make them be for good in your life. Now, you don't have to say, and I'm not encouraging you to say, come on, devil, bring it on. You know, bring the adversity, because I want the good in my life out of it. Now, there's enough trouble on its own, really, without you having to invite it. You know, or make it. Don't make trouble for yourself. You know, that's one of the things that you don't need to do. You know, there's going to be trouble. You know, in this world, you'll have trouble, but you don't have to make trouble for yourself. You don't have to get yourself in trouble. There's enough without having to deal with your own, you know, poor judgment that brings on trouble. But there's also another part of this endurance talks about continue or last, the ability or strength to continue or last. Now, continuing or lasting implies a period of time. That's something else that we need to realize when we are in the midst of dealing with adversity or dealing with trouble is, you know, I've used this phrase, you've heard this phrase, but you know, you can say, this too shall pass. This too shall pass. The trouble that we're experiencing, it will pass. And use that, because you know, there is a time limit to these things, but endurance gives you the strength or the ability to continue through that period of time. Romans chapter 12, verse 12 says, rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble, and keep on praying. We'll see here in a little bit about why prayer is so important. But it says, be patient in trouble. In other words, there's a period of time again. And endurance, patience is a part of enduring, part of endurance. Now, endurance, I'm going to put up this illustration for you here. Now, you may or may not like the champion boxer there. I believe that's Mike Tyson, is it not, on the right-hand side? But anyway, the point of this that I wanted to bring out is for you to be a championship boxer, you have to learn endurance. And you're not going to get there by having never fought a battle, having never boxed someone before. You can't just get up one morning as a child and say, I am going to be a professional boxer and be the champion without ever having had a battle. Okay? You have to develop endurance. That comes through training, much training, and it comes through having boxing matches and sparring and all these kinds of things, and then going into the actual ring and having the actual boxing matches for you to earn that title of champion. And see, a lot of us want to be champions for Christ or champions in Christ or overcomers, you know, victors in Christ, but we don't want to ever have to fight a battle to do it. You know, we just want to put on the costume and say, I'm a champion. But then adversity comes and we fail, we crash. We're really not champions because we've not learned how to go through the process or how to glean the good out of the trouble that we have and how to learn endurance. Are you getting anything? Am I getting this? Okay. All right. So the next part, isn't that guy cute? Yeah, look at the abs on there. All right. So it's amazing what you can do with a costume. But instead, becoming complete, was one of the parts of the good of troubles in James chapter 1. It says that we become complete and lacking nothing, needing nothing. And again, I'll just remind you that we are talking about God's completion project. And some of the verses that I've been continually repeating to you, Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you will bring it about to completion. And from Colossians 1:28, we want to present you to God complete in Christ. So if part of our completing is through trouble, well then let's, you know, face it. Let's realize and let's develop a different than typical attitude towards trouble. Again, if you're like me, the natural response to trouble is, oh, great. You know, here we go again. Or, why now? Why me? You know, it's like, I don't need to deal with this. You know, just, and we spread that on our family. How come you're shaking your head so much with that? Yeah, that's really true. He does. You know, but, or our close friends, our workmates, or whatever, you know, we end up spilling it all out on them. And I'm not saying that you can't share, you know, your adversities so someone else can connect together with you and help you or pray for you, that kind of thing. I'm not talking about that. But what is our response when we experience trouble? If it's part of the completing process, then let's, when it comes, be able to properly embrace it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9, and then 17 and 18. I'll have you look those up with me, if you will. Second Corinthians 4, first of all, verses 8 and 9. It says, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. I'm going to read this to you. Verse 10, through suffering our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Okay, so the first point of the outline that I want to put up there is that we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. Okay, we don't have to be crushed. Our faith does not have to fail in our trouble. As Paul commended the Thessalonians, he said, you stood firm in your faith. You weren't shaken. Okay, we're pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. And then on to verses 17 and 18 in that same chapter. It says, for our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Okay, so again, our present troubles are small. Remember a couple of weeks ago when I was talking about how the glory of the heavens reveal God and the greatness of God? You stand outside on a starry night and you just look at the heavens and you go, wow, great God, big God. And that helps to put our troubles back into a proper perspective. You know, what I'm dealing with is very, very small compared to this creator of the universe who was able to put all this together and put it in motion and keep it by the laws of nature, the physical laws, the laws of physics, so able to keep this thing in order. And how small, and then how small my trouble is compared to all of that. Our present troubles really are small. And it says they won't last very long. Okay, so again, we need patience during our troubles, and we need to realize we need endurance because there is a period of time, but it says it won't last very long. It will produce for us a glory that will last forever. Okay, so we're talking about the difference between the temporal and eternal. So it says don't look at the present troubles, but look at the eternal good. So here we're getting more perspective on how to respond to our troubled situations. If we know that it's going to produce endurance in us, and that with that endurance having its complete work, we're going to be complete and lacking in nothing, knowing that we're prepared for something that's good for the future, that this is going to present us to the Lord as complete, we can have a little bit different attitude about the trouble that we have. Instead of grumping about it so much, let's say, what's the good in this for me? What am I going to get out of this? What good will I learn? What experience will I have that's going to be beneficial not only to me but to others? And we'll see in the interaction time, there's a verse I'm going to have you look at that talks about the good of your trouble for others. Okay? Now, here's the deal. The greatest challenge is not the trouble itself. I believe that the greatest challenge is not the trouble but our response. Your response to the trouble. And here's something else that we need to understand is that God sees the end from the beginning, okay? But he's already reported to us the outcome, remember? He says, you know, look at your trials, look at your troubles as a opportunity for great joy. Because the outcome of those troubles is that your faith is going to be tested, it's going to produce its endurance, and you're going to be complete, lacking in nothing. So God's already given you the outcome, so let's take his word for it. And when we take his word for it, we will be able to have a better response. So knowing the outcome helps the response. Okay, so if I was offering up here to you today a bucket of trouble, you know, so if I just put it up on the stage here, and you'd look at that trouble and you'd go, got enough of my own. Don't want any more. I'm not gonna go take that trouble. But if you saw that as a result of picking up this trouble, there was a little hidden compartment in the bottom of that bucket of trouble, and that was great, whatever is valuable to you. $1 million if I take that thing of trouble. Well, what we're talking about scripturally is eternal benefit, blessing, as a result of our dealing with the trouble. So, you know, if we see the outcome, if we know what's hidden in that trouble, we can respond to it more appropriately. Say, yeah, I can handle it. I can deal with it. Okay. So, how to respond? Appropriate response to trouble. How to deal with it. Remember, when we're talking about endurance, we talked about ability or strength, even despite fatigue and stress. So the first direction that I want to head you in is praying for peace. And what I mean by that is, comes from Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7. Actually, I'm just going to quote it to you because this is one that I've learned from use, okay? I've learned from use, not because I sit down and memorized it, but I learned it from use. And that is, be anxious for nothing or worry for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, I've had plenty of opportunity to be anxious. But I've applied this scripture, that's why I know it. Because I know that I can exchange my anxiety for the trouble that I'm having. I can exchange my anxieties or my worries about those things and receive in its place peace that doesn't have a reason for that peace. It's beyond comprehension. There's no natural reason to have peace because the trouble's still there. But the reality is you're making your request known to God. You're praying. You're asking God. You're making your request known. So don't worry. Pray. Tell God what you need. And you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds understanding. And that will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You know, I believe that this is one of the greatest calling cards Christians can have. When their life is a testimony to walking in peace, no matter what the circumstances are in their life, you'd be going through a whole bunch of trouble and yet you still have peace. And people go, how do you do that? I freak out when I have that situation, it's like, well, you know, I've been able to exchange my concern or my anxiety and my worry and receive a peace that comes from God. There is no explanation for it. It's beyond comprehension. But it comes from God. Pray for strength for endurance. Again, I shared this verse with you, Philippians 4:13. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. So pray for that strength so that you can endure the period of time that you have trouble. Here's a good one. Expectancy of rescue. The scripture says, two verses in Psalms 34, first of all, verse 6, it says, in my desperation I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all. Everyone say all.
All.
He saved me from all my troubles. Now, that doesn't mean I didn't experience any troubles, but there was a rescue from that. And we can have an expectancy of rescue. And verses 17 and 18 of Psalm 34, the Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all. Everyone say all again.
All.
That's what the verse says. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Amen. We can have an expectancy of rescue from our trouble. And then one more, expectancy of overcoming. Remember, Jesus said, take courage. I've overcome the world. That's the verse that I opened up with, the truth of trouble. He said, in this world you have trouble, but take courage. I've overcome the world. And we can have an expectancy for overcoming as well. And we see that specifically in Romans chapter 8, where there's a whole list of trouble and an acknowledgement of, you know, God hasn't abandoned us. He hasn't left us. He still loves us. And, oh, by the way, we can overcome in these things. Romans chapter 8, 35 through 37. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scripture says, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Overwhelming victory is ours. We need to have an expectancy for overcoming. We need to have an expectancy for rescue from God. We know that he hasn't abandoned us. And again, so many people fail in their faith when they come into trouble because they feel like God's abandoned me. Or feel like God doesn't love me anymore. Lord, you must not if you allowed this into my life. And God's just saying, you know what? I want to turn this and take this and make it so that you'll be more complete. So that you'll be more like the image of Jesus than you ever have been before. So that you'll be complete and lacking nothing. Yeah, it's testing your faith. But you know what? It's just for a short period of time compared to eternity. And it's going to produce its eternal benefits in your life. It's going to make you stronger. It's going to give you experience. It's going to help you to help others. So again, I'm not trying to encourage you to, you know, be crazy about, you know, trouble in your life. But what I am trying to encourage you in is when trouble comes, is to have an appropriate response that's going to be a blessing to you and the people around you rather than just, you know, get you overwhelmed and in despair and discouragement and say, forget it, I'm done with this. That's not the way God wants us to respond. So in the interaction time here, I'm going to encourage you. Someone said, can we reserve a couple of tables where people really want to talk about it can sit? Because otherwise, we have this tendency, and I know it's human nature. You get your snack, you get your cup, and you just start to visit and say, how's your week? How, you know, so on and so forth, and that happens. And I'm not going to force anyone into this interaction time. However, it would be good for you. Maybe I'll give you trouble if you don't. You say, yeah, bring it on. Come on, trouble's good. But let's make these two tables back there in front of the sound booth for people who want, say, I want to discuss these things. Get your snack and your drink and, you know, just take it to those tables. And if you're just kind of not planning on doing it anyway, just want to visit, then go wherever you choose to. But let's at least reserve those tables. We'll see if anyone shows up. But Interaction time then. Here's some questions for you to interact on. What do you need to do to see the good in your present trouble? Okay, attitude change or whatever. Do you think that the amount of trouble we experience has anything to do with how we respond to it? Take another trip round Mount Sinai till you learn your lesson. You heard that song? Okay, explain how present trouble can prepare you for the future. And here's the secret verse that I said you'd have to look at in the interaction time. How can your experience with trouble benefit others? Let's pray. Lord, may we learn from your word. The scripture said that that your scripture is given to us to show us where we're wrong and to correct us. And may we see, Lord, that the things that we've been dealing with in our life, whether it's present or past troubles that we have experienced, may we be able to adjust our future responses as a result of the correction from your word here today. Lord, we don't want to invite troubles, but Lord, when they come, and they will, may we be able to properly respond and consider it joyful, Lord, not such a drudgery, knowing the outcome and knowing who we will be as a result of having endured, having our faith tested, and having become more complete. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You are dismissed for your interaction time and your snacks.